Daphne is here with us this morning. Daphne Alderson, it's somewhat coincidental. We decided it would be great to have Daphne here, and we picked a date, and it also happens to be another Opera Theater Summerfest performance. Daphne is known for recreating Edith Piaf's sound. You may not know much about Edith Piaf. I only know a little bit about her. But she was sort of, well, not exactly a counterpart to Marie Chevalier, but she was a contemporary and sang in France and relatively short life, but loved by so many people. We'll learn more about her. Alger wrote this morning to mention when he's in his studio, he always thinks of Edith Piaf because back in 1971, one of his art professors introduced him to Edith Piaf. Allow me now to introduce you as she recreates the sound of Edith Piaf to Daphne Alderson.
Si la route, la grande route, un jeune homme va chantant. Dans la route, la grande route, une jeune fille va rêvant. Une fleur à son corsage et des yeux pleins de douceur. Une fille à son corsage et des yeux pleins de l'amour. À la route, la grande route, un jeune homme va chantant. Dans la route, la grande route, la fille va rêver. Un jeune homme chante.
Wow, that was Daphne Alderson singing early in the morning, and you sound wonderful.
Thank you. It's very early.
It must be. Is it hard to sing this early? Or not hard, but you're in a different mindset.
Well, I have a rather low voice. I mean, by nature, I have a low, dark voice. But sometimes I love the morning because you have none of maybe the tensions of the day in your voice. You're just, you're just free and fresh.
Yeah, you're not worn out yet.
Yeah, you're not. So it's these songs are so lovely. They're so, all of these songs written for Piaf are structured so beautifully that they're melodious. So it feels okay in the morning, although, yeah, a couple of hours from now I'd be a little bit more limber.
I have a number of things I'm curious about, and the first is simply you. When did you decide you wanted to pursue music and singing, and how – I'm just curious, as a child, did you like to sing?
I did. You know, I grew up, my mom is a singer. My mom was a music teacher. My dad was not what you would call a singer, but my dad loved to sing. And he would croon in the car. He would sing a lot of the stuff that you play on this show. When my dad was a door-to-door Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman.
Oh, wow.
And he would sing on his way to appointments. But my mother has a very beautiful soprano voice, and she raised us with music. You know, I grew up like listening to Barbara Streisand and watching The Sound of Music. And all
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, my. And yeah. It's a city. I've been to Flint a number of times over the years, not recently. And Flint, as you were growing up, probably had a pretty, it probably still does to some extent, but it was a much more vibrant town, I would imagine.
When I was a kid, absolutely. When I was a kid, there was a lot happening because of General Motors.
Yeah.
And things really were popping. And at that time when I was a kid, my father was doing very well in sales. And we all know what happened in Flint since then. But Flint's really, I mean, it's been so much in the news because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having a really resurgence now because it's becoming a university town.
Yeah. I was going to say there's more to Flint than the veneer that is presented to us.
Yeah.
And it's a neat place. I think I want to say there was a Cadillac plant there. I may be wrong. I'm trying to remember what I was there. I know one of GM's big plants.
Chevrolet.
Chevrolet. Okay. Your dad would probably, if he heard me say
and
that.
General Motors, but Chevrolet was the big one, yeah.
I'm thinking of another one. But there was a time when, back in my other life, when I had to go to a bunch of GM plants there. So what brought you to Pittsburgh?
Well, It's all because of Flint, Larry. It's all because of Flint and my roots with my mother. Things were very rough, and I was auditioning for college, and the Duquesne University Tambaritsons offered a full scholarship at that time.
Wow!
So I auditioned. We were having rough times because of the closing of all the GM plants, and this scholarship was a godsend. So I could study music here, and I earned my way through school as a tambaritson for 4 years.
That's such a great story, and I'm glad it brought you to Pittsburgh because that's why we have you here today. Now, your, I would imagine, love for the music of Edith Piaf. How did that come about? Is that because I know a little bit, but not a lot about her, but I know she's so well regarded.
She's so beloved, and her story is very dramatic. Now, to answer your question, my earliest memory of Piaf was in the French club in high school that Sister Grace organized a French dinner. And she had the students entertain. And I found La Vie en Rose in one of my mom's songbooks. Had no idea who Edith Piaf was. But I learned it for the French dinner, not knowing that it was Piaf. And then my teacher, my French teacher, when I was studying to be an opera singer with a program in New York, would use Piaf recordings to educate us in class because her diction was amazing. And I just fell in love with it. And I love her so very much, but also the beautiful songs that were being written for her at the time. There's hundreds of them. And the songwriters were really imaginative. And the songs are full of drama and pathos and wonderful history, all of them, yeah.
Now, by the way, this is Daphne Alderson, who will sing again for you in a moment. And we're talking today about Edith Piaf in part because she had a 1956 recital at Carnegie Hall, not Daphne, but Edith. And Daphne's going to be recreating that recital on July 14th at 7:30 at Chatham University in its Falk Auditorium. So you'll be coming out. Oh, is there?
It's, yeah. Some of the print that went out on this was a little bit off. It's going to be at the new auditorium at the Winchester Thurston School.
We're not at Chatham. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, so the whole festival is moved from the 20th Century Club, where it was for several years, now into the Winchester Thurston School, and they have just renovated their auditorium, and it is beautiful.
We'll correct that on our website. So this will be at the same place that Little Red Riding Hood is coming, at Winchester Thurston is in Oakland. But the time and date still the same, July 14th, 7:30. And it'll be a recreation of the recital that Edith Piaf did. That has to be exciting for you to do that.
It's very exciting. I would like to say it's not entirely a recreation, because I'm not exactly like one of my heroes, Frank Gorshin, or I'm not exactly impersonating her.
Right.
But I'm extracting a lot of her dialogue and patter that she spoke to the audience in her voice. We're using about three quarters of the repertoire. She sang 21 songs in 1956, and we don't have time for all of that.
That's a long show.
It would be lovely, yeah. But most of them, and we're throwing in one or two things that weren't on that program to enhance the program and tell her story.
Will you have a band with you as well?
Wonderful band. Oh, you know, the guitarist and the banjoist, John Marcinizen, was recently on this program, and John has done a number of the arrangements of these new charts we're doing. Vladimir Molov is our accordionist. He's fantastic, too. Just got back from Bulgaria, recording in Bulgaria. Jeff Mangone is the bassist. Douglas Levine is our pianist. And Doug has written a few of the arrangements. And R.J. Hyde is doing percussion. And he's not just bringing drums. He's bringing train whistles and boat whistles and all of this cool stuff, because the Piaf repertoire is filled with the sounds of Paris.
And I was just thinking that. You can have a little night in Paris. quite honestly, have dinner in Oakland before or after the show and enjoy a Parisian escape without having to go very far. Because it sounds terrific. You can find details at the website otsummerfest.org for opera theater. And it's one of many things being done. And again, I want to be sure you know it's at the Willis Room of Winchester Thurston School in Oakland on July 14th at 7:30. What a wonderful show that's going to be. I'm glad you're going to share one more song. This will be our last chance to talk about what's coming up. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, I've been thinking, you know, Larry, I've been thinking so much about her because I started singing these songs really professionally as a cabaret singer. I crossed over from opera into cabaret about 11 years ago. And I was experimenting with all kinds of things at the time. And Piaf was always a part of things that I loved. But since doing it's my first real entire full evening of Piaf. I've always done elements of Marlene Dietrich because they were friends. And we toured a show that was half Piaf, half Leonard Cohen songs.
Oh, nice.
But this is all Piaf. And I think that her strength of spirit is so needed in the world today. And I hope that people will come out. I think we need this wonderful strength that she had. Her mother abandoned her. Her father raised her half in the circus, half in a brothel by her grandmother. She went from that into the Paris underworld working. Can I say pimp on the air? But she did. She did not do that work, but she was smuggling and doing, she had a very dark background.
She sure did, yeah.
And rose out of that to become such a beloved singer. And she spent most of her life singing about love in all its forms and singing about this, her former life, but with nothing but love. Singing about dark people in society, much like Chekhov in one of his novels, with nothing but love and truth. And I think that's why her music is still so universal. She had so much gumption and strength. And I think we need that right now.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad we can honor her this morning and further yet at the upcoming concert. Can you tell me the name of the first song that you sung?
Yes, yes. That is a song that I will be performing with Vladimir. It's called Un Jeune Homme Chanté, and it was written by Raymond Asso, who was the man who literally rescued her from the dregs of society and trained her to be the great singer that she was. There was a particular style at the time of the chanteuse that was, even in her day, Larry, was considered an old-fashioned style. Huh. That she took a lot of heat for that. But she stuck to her guns and did it. And this Raymond Asso wrote many beautiful songs for her. And this was one of the earliest. It was written in 1937. And it's about a young girl singing, a young man singing along the street, and a young girl coming along wearing a corsage. And of course, they fall in love on the spot. Huh. And lots of great things happen in 3 minutes.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, tell me about the next song that you'll close with.
I thought it would be poetic to sing the very first song I ever sang.
Oh, how nice.
To sing just a little bit of La Vie en Rose.
I would love that. Yeah. There's time for however much of it you want to share.
Okay. I will sing it. You know, it means a lot of it means looking through the world through rose-colored glasses. When I see him, it's like I'm wearing rose-colored glasses and everything is great. And she wrote this for Marcel Cerdan, who was a middleweight champion boxer that she fell very much in love with. And he was tragically killed in a plane crash. And much of her life, and I think the whole Carnegie Hall experience that she went through, she was still in mourning from that loss.
Oh,
and you can really feel it in the song list.
Very, very soulful, tragic life. Some of our stations, we leave us at 9, and I want to thank you for being here with us this morning, if I don't get a chance to. And we'll have our birthday segment coming up in just a few moments, but we're going to hear one more song from Daphne Alderson. Thank you for being here. And here she is again.
Thank you, Larry. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, l'a juré pour la vie. Et dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens en moi mon cœur qui bat.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Daphne Alderson, thank you.